Oh Lord, your scripture tells us that you are the Word made flesh. We ask that you open our ears and help us to hear. We know, oh God, that you are the light of the world. Will you open our eyes and help us to see? And your grace, oh God, is the wellspring of life. Will you open our hearts and help us to feel and know the living waters of your grace? Come, O Holy Spirit, breathe life into us. Mold us and make us in worship a little more in the image of Jesus, the one we call Lord and Savior, and in whose name we pray. Amen. From Mark's Gospel in chapter 10, verse 46 and following, they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This past weekend, I traveled with my wife to Nashville, Tennessee. I preached a wedding service on Saturday, and as we were preparing for the service, my wife asked me one of those loaded questions that sometimes husbands are presented with. And sometimes we really don't need much help. We husbands oftentimes can mess it up ourselves without our wives really helping us. The question my wife asked me was, "How does my hair look today?" The first portion of my response was really good. I said, "It looks great." Now, friends, I should have learned like we do as preachers in seminary. Say what you came to say, shut up, and sit down. But I didn't do that. I continued on. "It looks great. I like it so much better than the way you normally fix it." No, I must confess, I really didn't say that. I learned the lesson not to say things such as that after about 10 years in marriage to my lovely wife. But what we did do in preparing for the wedding that day is kind of one of our standard operating procedures. And this may sound familiar to some of you. What my wife really appreciates me doing when we're getting all fixed up, looking our Sunday best, going to a nice event, she likes for me to get ready first, and then go and sit and wait on her to get ready. Does that sound familiar to anyone? It frustrates her so if she gets ready first and then I rush and get ready at the end and I'm the last one to be ready. No, she wants me to get ready first, guys, and then wait upon her arrival. Now, why do you suppose that is? I think I figured it out. This time it was about 20 years into marriage, Joseph, so it takes a while. This time about 20 years in, I finally figured out why it is that my wife loves for me to wait on her, because it says, gentlemen, in a way beyond what words can, it expresses my affection. It says to her, "You're worth waiting on." Could such an expression communicate grace and affection beyond what even words can. I'm just silly enough to believe it is. And maybe that is what inspired the prophet Isaiah to say to us as people of faith, that confusing text that often we find challenging, that says to those who wait upon the Lord, they will find their strength renewed, perhaps their hope restored, their worship more fulfilled. You see, maybe that's what the prophet is getting at too, that when we wait upon God, that much as we in our relationships as husband and wife or parent or child or friend of faith, when we wait, it is an expression of affection. It is a profound act of worship before us, before our holy Lord above. To wait upon God, to trust the Lord with His timing instead of our own. You know, I think we find that in our passage of Scripture today. That as we hear this reading where Bartimaeus, the text tells us, is sitting on the roadside. What's Bartimaeus doing? He's doing what I did in Nashville and what many of us do before our holy God. Bartimaeus is sitting and waiting. He's heard news that Jesus of Nazareth is coming. So he has postured himself in the place where he can find restoration, where Jesus is sure to be found. Wow. Isn't that what we do in worship? Isn't that what we do when we come to this holy setting as the church? Surely that is why the essence of our catechism begins with the chief end of us. Is to glorify God, to wait before the Lord in worship so that we may be made well in the spirit of Bartimaeus. But you know, as much as I'm grateful for the waiting of Bartimaeus today in our text, there's a traveler on a journey of faith who embodies what it means to wait in a way far greater than Bartimaeus. Did you hear it? As we heard this reading with Jesus leaving Jericho, it tells us that as Bartimaeus cried out in that loud voice, and all the other folks said, "Be quiet. He's too busy. Be quiet. He's too important. Be quiet, Bartimaeus. You're not worthy." In the midst of all of those accusations, Jesus speaks up. But more than through his voice, through his actions, our text tells us that Jesus stood still. Or in other words, Jesus waited upon Bartimaeus to come to him. Sound familiar? You know, for many people of faith, they say that my faith journey began when I found Jesus. But for some of us, we realize all too well that our faith didn't begin in our finding Jesus, but instead, when Jesus found us and waited upon us as His children. Thanks be to God that we have a God who seeks us and waits upon us to love us and guide us with His grace. Amen.
Amen.